Penguin Random House Audio presents Dear Friend, From My Life, I Write to You in Your Life by Yi-Yun Lee. Read for you by Jennifer Iketa. This book is part of a conversation with Bridget Hughes. Dear Friend, From My Life, I Write to You in Your Life. 1. My first encounter with before and after was in one of the fashion magazines my friends told me to subscribe to when I came to America. I duly followed their advice. I had an anthropologist's fascination with America then. I had never seen a glossy magazine, and the print and paper quality, not to mention the trove of perfumes waiting to be unfolded, made me wonder how the economics of the magazine worked, considering I paid no more than a dollar for an issue. My favorite column was on the last page of the magazine, and it featured celebrity makeovers, hairstyle and hair color, for instance, with two bubbles signifying before and after. I didn't often have an opinion about the transformation, but I liked the definitiveness of that phrase, before and after, with nothing muddling the in-between. After years of living in America, I still feel a momentary elation whenever I see advertisements for weight loss programs, teeth whitening strips, hair loss treatments, or plastic surgery with the contrasting effects shown under before and after. The certainty in that pronouncement. For each unfortunate or inconvenient situation, there is a solution to make it no longer be, both attracts and perplexes me. Life can be reset, it seems to say. Time can be separated. But that logic appears to me as unlikely as traveling to another place to become a different person. Altered sceneries are at best distractions, or else new settings for old habits. What one carries from one point to another, geographically or temporally, is oneself. Even the most inconsistent person is consistently himself. 2. I was leaving to teach class when an acquaintance who lived across the country in New Hampshire called my office. She had traveled to a nearby city. I talked to her for no more than 2 minutes before telling my husband to go find her. He spent 12 hours with her, canceled her business appointments, and saw to it that she flew back home. 2 weeks later, her husband called and said she had jumped out of her office on a Sunday evening. He asked me to attend her memorial service. I thought for a long time and decided not to. Our memories tell more about now than then. Doubtless, the past is real. There is no shortage of evidence, photos, journals, letters, old suitcases. But we choose and discard from an abundance of evidence what suits us at the moment. There are many ways to carry the past with us, to romanticize it, to invalidate it, to furnish it with revised or entirely fictionalized memories. The present does not surrender so easily to manipulation. I don't want the present to judge the past, so I don't want to ponder my absence at her memorial service. We had come to this country around the same time. When I told her I was going to quit science to become a writer, she seemed curious, but her husband said that it was a grave mistake. "Why do you want to make your life difficult?" he asked. 3. I have had a troublesome relationship with time. The past I cannot trust because it could be tainted by my memory. The future is hypothetical and should be treated with caution. The present, what is the present but a constant test? In this muddled in-between, one struggles to understand what about oneself has to be changed, what accepted, what preserved. Unless the right actions are taken, one never seems to pass the test to reach the after. 4. After the second of two hospital stays following a difficult time, I went to a program for those whose lives have fallen apart. Often someone would say, weeping, shaking, or dry-eyed, that he or she wished to go back in time and make everything right again. I wished, too, that life could be reset. But reset from when? From each point I could go to a-
Sample complete. Ready to continue?